We've been talking this morning about a sound mind, about God promising to give us a sound mind, our key verse there. It's there. I'm just going to read the key verse we used this morning. I have two other keys that I'll have you turn to in just a moment. For 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." It's God's desire for us to have a sound mind. Now, I'm not talking about that when we get up in years, some may contract what we call Alzheimer's, and that's a little bit different. But as far as in the realm of depression and anxiety, God wants us to be an overcomer. God wants us to have strength, to persevere beyond that, and to find strength through Him. For this evening, would you turn with me to Proverbs chapter 12, and we're going to also read from chapter 13. Proverbs chapter 12. And this, again, is not in your notes. This first probably 15 minutes won't be in your notes. But this is just some scripture references I gave you there. Proverbs chapter 12. And verse 25. Would you stand with me for the reading from God's Word, if you're able to this evening? Proverbs 12 and verse 25. Proverbs 12 and verse 25. Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 12. Proverbs 13 and verse 12. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. Heavenly Father, we come to You tonight, Lord, and there are many infirmities upon this earth, and Lord, some of them are simply spiritual attacks, dear God. And we pray, Lord, that You give us wisdom tonight, Lord, and You would rebuke the devil, Lord, and You would put a hedge about us, Lord, as we try to minister for Your glory and for Your honor tonight, Lord. Would You have Your will and Your way, Lord? Father, would You speak to each and every heart, O God, for Thy glory, God. We'll give You praise and honor. In Jesus' precious and wonderful name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to read a little bit of the lengthy of a dialogue here between a gentleman who arrives at a hospital for psychiatric care who I'll just share with you. I'm leaving his name out. He has written a book, and I haven't read the whole book, so I'm not going to release exactly who he is and what the name of the book is because I have my concerns as to whether or not he's completely scriptural. But I thought the dialogue that I found was very, very interesting. I'd like to share it with you. He writes as following. During my first days in Ward 7 East, in the 7 East Ward, I withdrew into a medicated stupor. I resented sharing a room with a criminally insane patient who urinated on the floor next to my bed and another who walked around like a zombie. I refused all offers of help. I resisted any intrusion into my silence. I rejected the many opportunities to visit with even my friends and family. In an attempt to help me feel the reality of my problems, a wise member of the hospital staff began my therapy by asking some probing questions. "Mister, I'd like you to tell me how you feel today." My first response was, "I don't know." When I did feel something, the words to describe that feeling came with great difficulty. It seemed that my brain had either stopped functioning or had slowed to an almost imperceivable pace. Slowly the words came, words like sad, empty, alone, hopeless, afraid, worthless. The gentleman that wrote this is a pastor. The hospital employee continued his therapy session and said, "Do you sleep well? If I had the energy, I would have laughed." I finally said, "I sleep all the time, and I never sleep." Sleep was no longer the necessary nightly reviving experience. It was nothing more than an escape mechanism. I would drift into a fitful slumber when there was work to be done and remain wide awake during the long hours of the night. "How do you feel about your job, sir?" "I am a failure," I said, in spite of the fact that my work as a Christian minister had always been effective. Thousands had come to Christ. People loved me. The churches I pastored had always grown. Yet my depression had completely colored and rather discolored my perspective on a faithful and happy ministry. See how his mind's clouded. I mean, here he is a success, but he thinks he's a failure. The next question was, "Do you eat well?" He answered, "I eat all the time." One psychiatrist asked me, "If you had 3 wishes, what would they be?" "I can only think of one. I'd like to get my weight down to a normal 165 pounds. I didn't know at the time whether my depression was a cause of my insatiable eating or whether my bad eating habits were the cause of my depression. Others, I understand, react just the opposite. They lose interest in food. Oh, how I wish that I could." How do you feel about yourself? Inadequate. My self-confidence had hit bottom. There was no sense of self-worth whatsoever left in my life. How do you feel about your family? Unworthy. I think they love me, but I don't deserve their love. I was convinced that the many tender expressions of love for my family were all pretenses. They really didn't love me. They couldn't possibly love me. See his disillusionment to the fact that his family does love him? "Are you having difficulty making decisions?" He answers, "I couldn't decide to answer the question." "For weeks, I had struggled over whether or not to resign from my church. Each time I prayed, I seemed to receive a different answer." "Do you like to be around people?" "No." An emphatic no. "Please," I said, "I just want to be left alone. Leave me be." "Are you often angry?" With that question, I buried my head and began to sob. "Oh, yes. And always with the ones that I love the most. My family often feels the sting of my uncontrollable anger. My children fear me. Even my dog cowers when I walk by." How do you feel when you get angry? Guilty, unforgivably guilty. No one could lift the pall of gloom that settled over me when my anger was displayed. It often destroyed relationships, sometimes permanently. 1,000 times "I'm sorry" seemed to make no difference. Have you ever thought of suicide? Yes, at least once a day. I was certain the graphic memories of seeing so many suicides and counseling with so many shattered lives struggling in the wake of a family suicide kept me from actually killing myself. Little did I realize that in just a few years later, I would almost be successful in taking my own life in a suicide attempt. This was a pastor. He claims that, like I said, I haven't read the book. I only read an excerpt from it. And I gathered some of these quotes from there, and I thought this dialogue really helps. As you look at that, you know, there's probably situations that we've all crossed some of those same bridges. We've all gone through some of those same things, and the burdens of life that come our way and how we deal with them is so critically important. Depression, discouragement, anxiety, they can attack anybody. We can look at some of the great people of the Bible and find that there were many, many that had gone through some discouraging times, ready to give up. I mean, Elijah said, that he may die. But the encouragement that we can find through God's Word is that there's victory over such situations. As we look to Him, as we draw our strength from Him, and we recognize the problem, He was very deceived to a lot of His problems because He had reached such a place in His own mind, in His own heart, that His mind even began to slow down. He could barely comprehend certain things. The esteemed preacher and Christian theologian Martin Lloyd-Jones said, "In a sense, a depressed person is a contradiction in terms. And he is very poor recommendation for the gospel." He's referring to a Christian. A depressed person who is a Christian is in some respects a contradiction of terms. You see, we as Christians, we have a higher power source that we can turn to. And I'm not saying that there aren't battles that sometimes send us into a valley and we're shaking our heads trying to get a grip. I mean, back in January when everything broke loose, something I never thought that I'd go through. I tell you, I had some nights of anxiety attacks, but I solved them in prayer. As I sought God, as I got a hold of Him in prayer and sought Him until God came and relieved me from the problem, I didn't stay in that condition, and I thank God, and by His grace, I trust not to ever stay in such a situation like that. But you know, when a thing happens in our lives, the enemy uses that as a focal point to begin to aim his weapons at you. And it's not bad enough that everything's going wrong in your life, but then the enemy just comes and starts nailing at it. And I look at this pastor here, and that's exactly what was happening to him. Oh, you're a failure. He probably hears the broken record playing over and over again in his mind by the devil. You're worthless. Look, your ministry's no good. Even your family doesn't like you. Nobody likes you. Look, you got angry. You know, now look what you've done. And just every little action, and he's the one that's instigating the actions in the first place. And then he comes in and torments you on top of that. Friends, if we continue to listen to the enemy, he's going to continue to bury us. But if we can somehow get our mind off of what we're going through and just start looking to God and start praying, you know, there's a time and a place where we can be so hurt and so down that we can hardly lift our head up to pray. There was a time I was physically ill, and I thank the Lord that Glory was in touch with God because I felt, probably took on a heart attack is what happened to me 2 years ago. I had such chest pain, I thought somebody was jumping up and down on my chest. I laid in bed, I had a fever that spiked up into the hundreds, I don't know what it went to. I don't remember anymore. I remember barely getting downstairs and taking it, and I thought it could have been heart-related, so I swallowed a few aspirin, and my doctor said, "That's probably what saved your life." But I went back up, and I laid down. I couldn't talk. I didn't know what to do. My daughter's laying in the next room. If I called for an ambulance, what's going to happen to her? I didn't know what to do, and I prayed, "God, wake somebody up and have them pray for me." I remember Sister Glory telling me God woke her up at 4 in the morning. She said, "Pastor, I don't know what you were going through. God woke me up at 4 in the morning to pray for you." You know, there's times that all we can do is say, "Jesus, have somebody pray for me. I can't. I'm in such a cloud. I'm in such a burden, such a season of burden that I need somebody to pray for me." You know, we're going through some battles in our lives. We have to recognize that when we're in the battle, we need help. And there's nothing wrong with picking up the phone and calling somebody that you know knows how to pray. Don't call them if they don't know how to pray. If they're the town gossip, don't bother calling them. Because they're going to spend more time talking about it to somebody else before they talk to God. But oh, that we would get a hold of God, and we would learn to pray, and we would learn to call out and let others know. As I entered into the street ministry, a brother said to me, he said, "Now brother," he said, "you might see some down times." He's trying to live by faith. He said, "When you do," he said, "I want you to call me." He said, "I made the terrible mistake." This is Brother Kratz. And he said, "I made the terrible mistake, yeah, sometimes that when we were in work someplace, and we were living by faith, and we didn't let anybody know when we were going through." He said, "You got to let people know when you're going through some down times." And I believe that applies so much to even the spiritual aspects and the emotional things of our life. We need to let somebody know what we're going through, that they can help pray us through this. Another quote by Bob George, who is the director of Discipline Counseling Services in Dallas, Texas. He stated in a Christian periodical, "As children of God, we don't need to be depressed or defeated in life. God has provided us with everything we need for a life of godliness." He went on to say, "When a believer is not experiencing freedom and joy in the Spirit, it can only be that he is nearsighted and blind and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins." And he uses a reference of 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 9. He has forgotten his position in Christ. And there's truth in that. When we're going through some things, you know, but we look at some of the heroes of the Bible and they went through some down times. They went through some times where people had to help them and help them through. And God even sent angels to their side to minister to them. And you know, when you're going through those down times, God doesn't want you to despair. God doesn't want you to give up. All the negativity and thoughts that go through your mind that are negative and want you to do something of harm to yourself or to give up and to despair and why even bother? Those are thoughts of the enemy that are flooding your mind. And we have to recognize the battle. We might sit there and say, oh, I'm going through this battle. We have to recognize where it's coming from. It's the destroyer. It's the enemy of our soul that's wanting to destroy us. And while circumstances may build up to put us in a position where we feel some of the ways that we do, I want to let you know that God is all sufficient. God has the power to bring us through no matter what we're facing in life. Oh, that God would help us to turn to Him. I have a tremendous load of testimonies here, probably about 7 or 8 pages, and you pray the Lord would help me share the ones that I should share here. I became a Christian in 1995. Before that, I was in depression and I was suicidal. I was put on a ton of meds to help control it. I would try to kill myself not knowing any other way. I was brought up in a Christian home, but I was not aware of how God loved me. Well, there was this church camp, and Mom did not want me to go because she feared of what I would do. But she let me, and she gave me the meds, and I went to the church camp. There was a girl there named Mandy, who kept after me to accept Christ. Finally, on the last night, she and I went up to the altar, and she prayed with me, and I accepted Christ. I came home like normal. Mom gave me my meds, but there was something different every time she would give me the meds. I would now fall asleep. So she reduced them, but I still kept falling asleep and was drowsy. So Mom decided to cut off the meds, and I was like a normal girl at my age. The depression had lasted for 3 years. I am now a healthy young lady who knows God loves her unconditionally. John 3:16-17 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." And I want to say thank you to Mandy, wherever you are tonight. Alyssa Crane, age 15, from Illinois. She had found God. She lived in a Christian home, but yet there were some spiritual issues. She apparently had never really come to a knowing relationship with God. She suffered from a diverse amount of depression to the point that she had to turn to medication. But you know, when God came and met her need, she slowly slipped away from those meds. And I'm not recommending that anybody does that. You need to mind God and mind the doctor also, because God does use some forms and some ways to help us through some things. You're better off getting some medical attention if you're going to do harm to yourself than standing around waiting for a disaster to happen. But you know, God is above and far beyond anything in this world that we face. Another testimony reads, "Before I knew Christ, depression was my main problem. One time, it was present for at least 3 months. I was mad at everything and everyone, so I refused to ask God for help, even though I believed He was there. One day I was just lying there, feeling completely helpless and hopeless, and so I gave in. I simply asked God to take the depression away. And the next morning when I woke up, it was gone. Praise God. I can't explain it. I just felt this peace and joy in the place of the depression. That's when I decided to follow Christ. I am completely satisfied in Him, and I can think of nothing better to do with my life than to know Him and make Him known." Philippians 3:8 says, "I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord." Now these testimonies are written in their own words, so they're a little choppy at times, may not be entirely grammatically correct. Here's another one. Some of these I got to be careful with all the materials that's in them. I had been diagnosed with panic disorder, clinic depression, and the whole 9 yards. Getting back to a loving, affirming church and getting back to the Bible and the understanding of Romans 3:21-31 has helped me through all that. Forgiveness and salvation is a free gift. There's nothing you can do, so there's nothing you have to do, but just trust in the Lord. He will pour out His blessing on you. In His time, And when it's right for you, keep praying and trusting Jesus and let go of the guilt. The Lord has given us a spirit of peace, not of fear. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I want the world to know how awesome Jesus is. My life was a mess for a very long time. I was raised by an alcoholic parent, and by the age of 16 I was pregnant twice. I chose to keep my children. A few years later, I became the victim of domestic violence. I ended up with anxiety attacks and depression. Then I found Jesus. Jeremiah 29:11 changed my life forever. For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. It has been 5 years since I came to Jesus today. I am a Christian mother of three beautiful children. I am enrolled in college, studying to be a Christian psychologist. My life is leading to success, all because Jesus died for me. Jesus has been faithful to keep His promise. Jana. And there's just one testimony after another of God reaching down and curing people in the midst of their depression. Many of them had no experience with God, but when they found God, God brought the cure. We talked earlier, and if we'll turn to our notes at this time, maybe we'll come back to a few testimonies. We talked there in point number two about acknowledging sin, acknowledging dealing with sin. You know, that guilt that can press down on us, sometimes the difficulties, the depression, the anxieties that we go through are a result of guilt, of something that we've done that we haven't properly dealt with. And while I don't want to re-preach that or go deep into that again, I just wanted to back up for just a moment. The lady there, I suspect it was a lady, was testifying about God's deliverance and that He brings us through. Number four is where we're at, where we're continuing at. So if you want to turn to the second or third page, I guess it's the second page. Be thankful and praise the Lord in all things. You know, even when we're going through the valleys, even when we're going through those dark places, if we can somehow get to a place in our hearts where we would praise God and worship Him, even though that we're down, we're still able to give Him praise and give Him glory. You know, Job, in the midst of all that he was going through, yet he praised God, yet he worshiped the Lord, and also that he sinned not against Him, nor charged God foolishly. Be thankful and praise the Lord in all things. Psalm 40 and verse 3 says, "And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord." He hath put a new song in my mouth. I know when I found God and I began to walk in, it was amazing how the things that would start to come to my mind, the good things, the pure things, the holy things. And sometimes He'd give me a song in the night, just give me a song of my own, then I'd begin to sing unto God and just make a joyful noise unto the Lord, something I could never pen down or write or even ever sing again. It was just words that God had filled my heart with. And He can put a new song in our heart. You know, if we allow our minds to be filled with negativity and we concentrate on the bad things, where are our thoughts going to stay? They're going to stay on the problems. They're going to stay on the bad things. But if we can focus and we begin to praise God, I don't know if you can praise God successfully from your heart. I don't know how your mind can stay on bad things. You start thinking about the good things that God has done. You start filling yourself with the wonderful works of God and the miracles of what God has done. It'll lift you up. And as you begin to praise God, it'll break the burden. It's amazing what praising can do. You know the little chorus that we sing sometimes? You know, there was a situation at the time, and in this case it was an attack of the devil. You know, it may be an anxiety attack in one way or another, but in this case it was a physical sickness that the enemy was just fighting with. And without going into great details about it, the way that I came through it was not only by prayer, but it was by praise. And you know, sometimes we can pray and we can pray and we can pray, but the oppression of the enemy can be so strong, we really need to just start praising God. We really need to start worshiping Him. And even if we have to, shout praises unto our Heavenly Father and give Him the glory and give Him the honor for what He's been doing in our lives. Because the enemy really can't stay in an atmosphere of praise. Because when one starts to praise God, God lends an ear in that direction so clear. Oh, that God would help us to praise Him. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything give thanks. In everything give thanks. It's kind of hard to give thanks when you're going through a valley. Oh Lord, thank you for allowing me to go through this. Wait, you don't do that? It's not easy to praise God when you're in the valley. But you know what? And I think that's what helps us to come out of the valley, when we can take our mind off of the valley and we can start to think about some of those mountaintop experiences, start to think about a miracle that you know God did in your life, or how He's brought you through, or how He saved you. And I had some discouraging times, some times that I messed up before the Lord, and I'd fall on my face weeping and crying and looking, and I'd have to look back and say, as God would help me and speak to my heart, I had to look where I came from. I had to look where I came from and what He brought me out of. And you know, if we focus on the problems that are of today, you think about the problems of the past, things that you've overcome, and God has miraculously intervened and interceded. And you look at those and what He has done. When you were going through that, you may not have felt much like praising Him, but when you came through it, you were able to praise Him real strong, weren't you? So when you're going through the next battle, why don't you just think back to what God has already done? Think back to what He's already done and begin to praise Him for what He has done and for what He's done for each and every one of us. In everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks unto our God. Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 through 9. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, and if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Wow, I'll tell you what, that is a prescription. You got troubles, you got problems, you got anxieties, you got depression. Well, I have to ask you, what things are you thinking about? I mean, if I come to you and I try to encourage you and help you through that, you know, it might not be a comfortable thing, but what if I start to ask you what you're thinking about? Would you want to tell me? Would you want to tell me the thoughts that are going through your mind that have brought you to a place of depression? Probably not. But you know, if we'll think on those good things, that whole list of things that we read there, we start thinking about those, the things that are good, the things that are pure, the things that are honest, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, and if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. You get that little condition there at the end, and the God of peace shall be with you. If you don't have any peace, I'd have to ask you to back up and just do a quick check and let me know what you're thinking about. Or at least let yourself know. Be consciously aware of what you're thinking about. That sounds kind of silly. No, you need to be conscious. Sometimes our mind just gets tied up with things. It's a fight of the enemy. Let us come to recognize exactly where we're at. What are we going through? Why am I thinking about these things? I mean, the enemy just comes over and over and over again. And when you've been hurt or you're going through a trying time, it's hard to get your mind off of those hurts. You know, here I am, a big fella. If I were to step on your toe, it'd be hard to get your mind off your toe. I mean, it's going to hurt, right? You know, when we're going through some things in our lives, it's not always easy to get our mind off those things. I acknowledge that. I realize that. I recognize it in my own life. But somehow, if we can begin to try to get our way out of the valley and start to climb back up on the mountain, we're going to have to start thinking of the right things. We're going to have to start to ask God to cleanse our mind. I mentioned back there in January, as I went through that trying situation, and that first night, I mean, I was up till like 5 in the morning. I mean, there's a lot of stress, a lot of problems, and I think any concerned parent would have probably been up till 5 in the morning. But you know, I had to come to the place where it was like, Lord, I just give this to You. You see, when we carry a burden on our own, we're not meant to carry all that weight. Our frames can't handle the things that bring us down. And that's why we need to come to a place with God. We need to come to God and ask Him to touch us and to help us and to lift us up. Oh, that the Lord would help us to recognize and to see what's going through our mind and what we need and how we could possibly focus on Him. Oh, that the Lord would help us. The fifth step here, and not that there are necessarily any exact order, but number 5 says, do something for someone and be careful not to neglect your responsibilities. This will take great strength. Philippians 4 and verse 13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. John 13 verses 14 through 17, if I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, And the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that hath sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. I think the author of these points that compiled these scriptures, do something for someone and be careful not to neglect your responsibility. You know, as we reach out, we try to be an encouragement to someone else. We try to help somebody else. It does something for us. It encourages us. It leads us along life's way, and it lifts us up in the midst of it. Do something for someone and be careful not to neglect your responsibilities. Neglected responsibilities can come back to haunt you. Sometimes there's some of the things that may distress us and discourage us because we didn't take care of something when we should have, and now we have a problem on our hands. All that we can do is kneel before God and confess it and ask God to help us through it. Ask God to lift us up and over our faults. Number six, study biblical examples of those who were in despair. David, and all that David went through as he was hunted like a dog. Hannah, Elijah, the references are here, you can check them out. I don't know why there's no numbers behind Psalms, but I guess all the Psalms. You can find much about David and what he went through. Hagar in Genesis, and Saul in 1 Samuel chapter 28. Our last section, be encouraged by the following verses, is a list of verses that should be an encouragement to us. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. Aren't you glad today to know that Jesus is there for us and we've been going through that battle, that He is there to heal the brokenhearted, to lift us up and to strengthen us and to bind up their wounds. Oh, that the Lord would help us, that we would learn to call upon Him until we prayed through and God has rained down His healing upon us. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. You see, a sin that's still left the reign in our body, and I know that that's still left the reign in our lives, will end up being a form of discouragement and depression. And we talked about that a few points ago. Psalm 19, verse 28, my soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. Listen to David here. My soul melteth for heaviness. Under a burden that he was under. The distresses and the burden. You know, David didn't have the modern conveniences we did. I mean, if we had to run from somebody that feared us, we'd hop in our car and drive away, and we could go through a McDonald's drive-thru and get something to eat and go here or there or go to an agency that's able to help us and protect us. David didn't have that, did he? When he was on the run. And some of the things that he went through, he didn't have those kind of things. All he had was God to look to. Psalm 51, verses 7 through 9 and verse 12. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that thy bones, which thou hast broken, may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. You know, we find sandwiched in these verses, we talk about holiness. And you know, the carnal nature, when it's left untaken care of, it can rise up. I tell you what, you can have a whole host of problems from the carnal nature down on the inside. God has got a cure for that. He wants to cleanse. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. You know, the person that we read the dialogue there, he talked about his anger. Probably very likely dealing with a carnal heart. A carnal heart that just would lash out from time to time without even reason and not aware of it. He's just given over to it. Oh, that the Lord would help. If you look at that dialogue that I had read to you, you'll see occasion after occasion after occasion where these things had become sin to him. It's no wonder he was in depression. These were becoming outright sins. I'm going to skip down to Isaiah 40 and verse 31 there, the second to the last one. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Those are the promises of God, that we can get a hold of Him, that He will be there for us to lift us up. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, He shall raise up a standard against him. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad to know that God is there for us? I wouldn't want to face a day without God. I wouldn't want to face a day without God. Oh, that the Lord would help us to walk faithful with Him. The last verse there is some good preaching too. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 13. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. And I think that's a verse that anybody that's in Christian service or is in a service type of work where they're constantly helping others, you got to take some time to refresh and renew. And oh, that the Lord would help us. I think I'll share another testimony or two here in closing tonight. I am a walking testimony of God's goodness. I was physically abused by my dad and also abused by my stepdad and my boyfriend. All this resulted in deep depression and bulimia. When I didn't eat, I really hurt my body, and I will suffer consequences for the rest of my life. I had fallen away from God during my teen years, but now I have rededicated my life to Jesus. I love Him more than anything, and if it wasn't for Him, I wouldn't be alive now. Because of my experiences, I have been able to lead several people to Jesus. He has healed me of some of the side effects of my eating disorders, and I can still have children. I am very grateful He has done a wonderful work in my life. Sabrina. And she closes with this verse. I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Isaiah 49 and verse 16. Maybe you want to write that one down. Isaiah 49 and verse 16. I have engraved you on the palms of my hand. I doubt very much that's King James English. Again, a lot of these testimonies are in their own words and whatever version of the Bible they may have used. She says that she now lives with her mother and her sister and her stepdad, and she can honestly say that she loves and has forgiven her stepfather. He is precious in God's sight too. What a humble spirit to be able to forgive and after going through something like that. And to be able to say that he's precious in God's sight as well. One more thing. I now love myself. I see myself as God sees me. Thanks for listening to my story. Well, it's really God's story and the testimony of what He's done in my life. See, I have engraved you on the palm of my hands. Your walls are ever before me. This verse was such a comfort to me, she says. God is always there, always, even when I feel that I'm alone. You know, God is able to help us to forgive with some of the most horrible situations. I remember a young lady and talking and counseling with her and her husband, and they weren't married too long, and some of the history of her life started to come out, and their newlywed life was being shattered. And she looked at a picture of her father sitting at my kitchen table one day there with her and her husband, and she just broke down. She had been abused, and she said, for the first time in my life, I think I've actually been able to forgive my dad. And God brought her through that. And you know, she's had a whole host of emotional problems up and down because of what she had been through. But you know, God brought a healing. God brought a healing. And to this day, I mean, I won't say too much, but she's a precious young lady serving God. And God's been helping her in very many ways. And I just see her and her husband flourishing for the Lord. And God is worthy of praise for what He's done. I had a very bad anxiety. I had very bad anxiety and depression. I lost a lot of sleep and had demonic nightmares. I lost focus with God and thought that I had lost Him for good. Despair and a downward spiral soon followed. I ended up hospitalized. I had therapy and I'm on medication, which is helping. I also had an injury to my neck, back, wrist, and shoulder. I went to the chiropractor and had terrible back spasms and went home in pain and in a neck brace. While in the hospital, I attended a church service. My neck was still hurting and I was in the brace while I was in the brace. I prayed one night in the service for God to heal me and to cleanse me at the same time. I felt a warmness on my neck and wow, the pain was gone at once. And I felt within myself a new beginning. Things from then on in became better. My life has come a long way. And I'm being baptized with one of my friends on November 23rd. God can do miracles even in our day. Whether it be of the physical realm, whether it be of the emotional realm, God is able to lift us up and to strengthen us in so many ways. I haven't always been a Christian. I became one a year and a half ago. That was the best thing that I ever did, for my whole life changed. I didn't change it. God did. Before becoming a Christian, I suffered from depression, PMT, and terrible migraines for 11 years and was suicidal. Since I received Jesus, I am not depressed, suicidal, and I don't suffer from migraines or PMT. Jesus healed me and saved me. I was lost, but now I am found. In Luke 11 and verse 9 and 10 is my favorite passage in Scripture because it is true. Ask and it will be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks shall find. To him who knocks, the door will be opened. God always hears and answers prayer. Isn't our God wonderful? The Lord has done so many things in so many people's lives. I couldn't believe when I started looking at some of these websites on depression and Christian websites, and they had all these testimonies just one after another. I mean, I didn't even probably get down about half of them here in my notebook, and I probably only shared about maybe 50 to 75% of the ones I even have here tonight. But you know, the Lord is wonderful. The Lord is awesome. He's able to bring us through whatever we might be facing. And I encourage you to seek God, and I encourage you to look at these things and to study over them. And some of these verses would be tremendous to commit to memory. As you're going through a battle, you can bring that verse out. I remember some of the spiritual battles that I went through in my own life. And I'll tell you what, there were verses that I memorized God had in my memory just when I needed them. Just when I seemed to slip down and I needed that extra help and that extra lift, God was there to help me. And He did it a lot of times through verses that I committed to memory. Because, you know, when you're going through a battle, oh, wait, I got to find that verse and we got to dig through Scripture. Well, thank God we have the Holy Bible in front of us that we can do that. But if it's engraved in our mind and we need that verse, it's right there when we need it. We don't have to go and look it up and take precious time to look it up. And thank be to God that we can if we need to. But I encourage you to find verses that God speaks to you through, and those that you can hang on to and commit them into memory, that God will be able to use them to pull you through whatever you might be facing. I'd like to stand in a closing word of prayer tonight. And as we close in prayer tonight, I'd like to make it more of a community prayer. And you pray as I pray, and you ask God to help. You ask Him to encourage you. If you're suffering in any way from things that you're facing, I trust that somehow some of these Scriptures or things that God has used here this evening and this morning and last the other week, that God would help you through them. And I also let you know that if there's anything that I can do for you, if you ever need to talk, please let me know. I'd be happy to try to provide some pastoral counsel in this area. And the Lord is able to work in wonderful ways. Let's pray together now. Dear Jesus, we thank You and we worship You tonight, Lord. There be many, Lord, many countless throughout the churches in our land, across this world, that suffer from desperate fits of depression and discouragement and anxieties, Lord. You know the needs, Father. We pray, God, that You would help us, Lord, to just get all those things settled with You and to trust You by faith, God, that we may persevere and overcome, Lord. Help us, God. Touch each and every one of us, Lord. Touch us all, Lord, that we may draw strength from You, God. And Lord, we'll praise You for what You do in Jesus' precious and wonderful name. Amen.